You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
The hottest topics of the season. Try them on for yourself.
Every different topic just makes me want to scream.
55KRC, the talk station.
7:05, fast approaching 7:06 here at 55KRC, the talk station. Hope you're having a very happy Tuesday. My name is Brian Thomas. You have tuned into the 55KRC Morning Show. Appreciate that, and I am glad you tuned in at the right time because I have Hogan Gidley on the phone, White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary, to talk about Trump's visit here in the state of Ohio yesterday. Hogan, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you on today.
I really appreciate it. I do need to say, before we get started, so I don't get in trouble here, I'm not the principal deputy press secretary at the White House anymore. I've moved to the campaign, so when I talk about things regarding the campaign, I don't want anyone to come after me for the Hatch Act, because I know it no longer applies. I don't work over there anymore. I'm over at the campaign.
Fair enough. But previously, White House principal deputy press secretary. So you come with the credentials, Hogan, just a different title now. You're wearing
true,
a different hat.
True.
Fair enough. The lawyer in me understands that. So let's talk about the trip to Vandalia and the greater Toledo area yesterday. From all accounts, including, and I'll just be a little partisan here, and because we've been a little upset with Governor DeWine's edicts and mandates, but with the exception of some boos for Governor DeWine because of the COVID restrictions he's in play, it sounded like it was a really successful rally. Hogan, a lot of people show up. How'd the crowd act, and how'd it go?
Looked really good. I mean, the people were really enthusiastic. I think that's one thing that we have going in our campaign that the Democrats don't. There are many, but this is one that I think even the press can't ignore. The enthusiasm, the excitement of what we have. You see now across this country, Republicans registering to vote at a much higher rate than our Democrats. You see, you know, across our social media platforms, because we can't really campaign in the conventional sense this cycle. We have 1.1 billion views across our social media pages at this point. That's breaking all types of records. Our online shows are extremely popular, and the president hardly ever really participates directly in them. It's very rare. So it just shows there's a movement and excitement out there to reelect this president for four more years of peace and prosperity.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed. Considering the Harris-Biden ticket, and I use the priorities there, or the order there, advisedly. They seem to be campaigning solely and exclusively on "We're not Trump." It's an anti-Trump based campaign. I just kind of wonder what exactly they would be campaigning on it, were it not for their disdain for Donald Trump.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because that was pretty much the entire theme of their Democrat convention for 4 days.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, they didn't push a single thing that Joe Biden would do, because they're terrified to expose all the radical leftist socialist agenda items he's now embraced and is pushing. And they sure didn't point to anything he accomplished in the last 50 years in elected office. That should tell you something, too, because, you know, in just 3 years in office, we put together a convention that had real people. Democrats used Hollywood. We used the heartland. And people told their stories of how this country was the greatest place on the face of the planet, how they received opportunities here they would have never received anywhere else, and how this president's policies made their lives better. You didn't get any of that from the Dem convention, first of all, because they don't believe America's great, and second of all, because they had no record to point to that actually went to improve the lives of real Americans under Joe Biden. It was a disaster. It has a record of failed policies, and what he did at ACT, you know, did more to damage the country economically than anybody else. So it's a pretty clear choice at this point.
Hogan Gidley, how do you address the response from the Democrats on the Supreme Court vacancy left by Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing? That, well, 2016, you wouldn't allow Barack Obama's candidate Merrick Garland to be voted on. This is the same thing. It's an election year. You can't vote on, well, it looks like now the lead candidate is Amy Coney Barrett, and whichever of the women Donald Trump ultimately decides to nominate. We are at a different point here, are we not, given the Senate makeup, Hogan?
It is. It's different for two reasons. You know, first of all, the word precedent is always used incorrectly. Precedent only applies when two things are identical. Merrick Garland and Barack Obama's nomination of him are different for two reasons. One is because Obama was a lame duck president. He was about to leave office. So, you know, voting on that nominee, you know, you could have done it. The Senate has the right to do it.
Yeah.
But they chose not to. That's fine. That's their prerogative under the Constitution. That I think is very important. Also, the makeup of the parties in control, major difference here in that in history, when you have a party that controls the White House, a Democrat president and a Republican Senate, a Republican president, a Democrat Senate, they never historically vote on a Supreme Court nominee. That's just not what happened. Merrick Garland was a perfect example of that. In this instance, what you have is the same party that controls the White House, a Republican president, and a Republican Senate. That's happened 10 times in history, and all those people were confirmed. Four times in history it's passed. It's happened when you had opposite parties controlling the Senate and the presidency, and that's never voted on. So it historically, the precedent is set for the president of the United States to nominate someone to fill this vacancy. And the Senate has the right to take up that vote or not. I mean, that's their prerogative, and that's outlined by the Constitution. I will just say it's pretty clear that our founding document put that in there for a purpose. And the president, 29 times in history, you've had a vacancy in the court in an election year, and all 29 times a nominee was put forward. The president is going to put forth a nominee. It's up to the Senate whether or not they vote on it. That's the way the Constitution works.
It is. You know, you go back to the Obama effort, and you're right, lame duck, and he's getting ready to leave the office after 8 years. You had the Senate controlled by Republicans. So, who's to say if they did actually put Merrick Garland up for a vote that he would have even been appointed to the bench? He might have gotten shot down in flames, Hogan.
Oh, he would have. There's no question, because the Republicans said they weren't going to vote. They weren't going to bring him up, but had they, I doubt he would have gotten confirmed. But that's just the way this works. It's frustrating to see the media play along so much with the Democrat narrative that somehow we're upending constitutional norms. The Constitution is very clear. The president shall nominate for a vacancy on the Supreme Court, and the Senate will vote or not vote on that particular nominee. That's up to them. That's the way this works. We are following the Constitution to the letter. And for Democrats to basically try to blackmail us or hold us hostage and say, no, you have to do what we want, or we're going to keep burning down your cities and towns. You have to, follow our way of thinking, or we're going to stack the court with all types of extra people, and we're going to make sure that D.C. and Puerto Rico become a state, which is completely upsetting the apple cart. I mean, they're threatening all these radical things and trying to blackmail people and hold people hostage for something you actually wanted to do before this nominee was even available kind of shows your true colors.
It does. And all those the violence has been directed toward elected officials. I mean, they had they were harassing Lindsey Graham at 6 o'clock in the morning outside of his residence. They did the same thing to Mitch McConnell over the weekend. There are others who've been harassed, threatened. I'm certain that they get death threats all the time. That seems to be, sadly, the new norm, Hogan. How are the elected officials dealing with it? And I believe very strongly, like, if you look at a guy like Mitt Romney, now I know he's gone real centrist on everyone. He is reluctant to vote for the Supreme Court nominee at this point. And there are a couple of other vacillating senators, Murkowski for one. If maybe all this harassment is directed to get the ones that are sort of on the center or centrist and who have been duped into thinking that some precedent has been established, to frighten them into saying no and not bring up the vote.
It seems like their intimidation tactics are designed to do just that. I mean, they don't want normalcy. They don't want peace and prosperity. They had a convention, as I mentioned before, for 4 days, Democrat convention, Democrat-controlled cities. They didn't mention this violence a single time. They didn't mention the rioting, the looting, smashing in storefronts, stealing merchandise, attacking innocent Americans, just beating them half to death in the middle of their streets. Didn't even talk about it. And that tells you all you need to know. When the president of the United States visits a place like Wisconsin. He goes in there and says, here's $1 million to the police force, the brave men and women of law enforcement. And also here's $4 million to help you guys rebuild your businesses. And the Democrats, in turn, take 13 of Joe Biden's staffers at the behest of a Kamala Harris tweet and say, we're going to give money to a fund in Minnesota that makes sure people get out of prison for causing all of the damage. So the very people that made all the destruction, that set all the fires, Democrats are trying to set bail for them and pay so they can get out back on the street to, you know, presumably break the law again. We're standing with the families of these communities. We're standing with the local law enforcement because we want to make sure people are safe. It's just a clear difference that we stand with cops, and right now they're standing with criminals.
And Hogan, what a wonderful stark contrast, and one that I'll be sitting on the edge of my seat waiting to be brought up during the presidential debate, which is rapidly approaching. Any concerns, Hogan Gidley, about whether or not Joe Biden will actually end up participating? Because we all know he's been struggling. His cognitive issues seem on full display every time he's out. And his inability to rely on a teleprompter, at least presumably, during a presidential debate live with questions that haven't been given in advance, Hogan, is he really going to do it?
Well, he says he will, so we'll see what happens. But look, Joe Biden, like you said, by his own actions, has kind of lowered his own bar here.
Yeah.
But he's been doing this for 50 years, okay? He gets up for debates. He did a good job just coming off of a primary where he had a lot of debates on stage. Did a good job, ended up winning the nomination. And also, if he walks to the podium by himself, grabs a hold of both sides of the lectern, looks right in the camera and says, hi, my name's Joe, and that's all he says, the media are going to be like, this guy is brilliant. Listen how wonderful he said, my name is Joe. Look at how articulate he is. He will be the best president ever.
It doesn't matter
what he says or does. They're going to cover for him.
We sat in the back room for 2 hours working on that line. He pulled it off great. Yeah. Did you hear that?
That's right. Took him 2 weeks to kind of nail it in the rehearsals, but he finally got it. You know, I mean, and the media is going to lap it up. And so that's what we're up against. We understand that. The president's going to do what he can to be ready. He's a politician. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. He's new to this. And so, you know, he had several debates, obviously, in 2016. He hadn't had any in a while, although, you know, his job of actually taking questions from the media that aren't predetermined and aren't, you know, and whose answers aren't in the teleprompter, you know, he does really well. But, you know, it's different on debate stage. So we'll see what happens. We're excited about it. You know, we want the American people to see these two men side by side, and hopefully they'll get a flavor for what direction the country will be in with a Donald Trump presidency or a Joe Biden presidency.
Hogan Gidley, press secretary for the Trump presidential reelection campaign. It has been a real pleasure to have on the 55 KRC morning show. Perhaps we can talk again between now and the election. But in the meantime, on behalf of my listeners, best of health and, of course, best of luck on the campaign. We have our fingers crossed out here.
And to you, anytime. I'll come back on.
Hogan,
thanks so much.
Fantastic. Take care of yourself and stay well. It's 7:18, coming up at 7:19 right now, 55 KRC, the talk station. Hope you can stick around. We've got Mike Morosky coming up on the latest Cincinnati Public School Plan.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.